Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I'm Harsh Singh and in this audio we will discuss epic. So what is an epic? Now epic ke baare mein hum logo ne bahut baar sun rakha hai. Whether it be the epic of Mahabharata or Ramayana from India or whether it be the epics in Western literature, Homer's Iliad or Odyssey or Virgil's Aeneid or Dante's Divine Comedy, all of these can be considered good examples of epics. But let's try to understand the basic definition of epic. Epic is a long narrative poem on a grand scale about the deeds of warriors or heroes, and it incorporates mythology, legend, folktale and history. And epics are often of national significance in the sense that they embody the history and aspirations of a nation in a lofty or grandiose manner. So subject is serious, okay, serious subject is there. The style in which it is written is formal and elevated. An epic is usually very long. Now these are some of the distinguishing features of epics. Features which you will find in every epic that you read. Whether you read the Mahabharata, Ramayana, Iliad, Odyssey, Paradise Lost, all of these epics share these qualities. Now epics are understood to belong to one or two categories. First category can be primary or also known as oral or primitive category. Then second can be literary. Secondary or literary category. Okay, so one is the oral, second is literary. Now one of the earliest known epics is the Sumerian epic called Gilgamesh. Okay, Gilgamesh. And this dates back to 3000 BC. So this is that old. And it recounts the adventures of the king of that name and his search for glory and eternal life. After that, as I said, Homeric epics, Iliad and the Odyssey, the famous heroes Achilles, Odysseus, and there is also a movie, you know, Hollywood movie on Troy, where there is Achilles. And the Iliad recounts the story of the war between the Greeks and the Trojans. And if you haven't watched that movie, I suggest you should watch that movie because it will just help you understand what this great battle which was fought between the Greeks and the Trojans was like. And who was Achilles, who was Hector. Now after that, Odyssey. Odyssey is also a great epic, and this relates the adventures of Odysseus during his return from the Trojan War to his island home in Ithaca. I-T-H-A-C-A, Ithaca. Or English literature mein ek anonymous epic bhi hai, you know, something which predates the era of Chaucer, which is called Beowulf. And this is a anonymous epic, and nobody knows till now who actually wrote this epic. But judging by any standard, this is one of the oldest epics. Oldest epics in the world and the oldest in English literature. And what is this epic Beowulf about? This is about a hero called Beowulf who kills two monsters. One is called Grendel and the other is his mother, Grendel's mother. Now after slaying these two monsters, Beowulf finally kills a dragon. But in the process of killing that dragon, he also is injured and in the process, he also dies. Now, iske baad hum log ye jaan lete hain that what are the conventions or some formulas or conventions that are used in epics and features that are found in almost all epics. Now, first is, you know, if you consider the example of Paradise Lost by John Milton, the first thing that you will find is the narrator begins by stating his argument or the epic theme, and there is an invocation of the muse, right? After that, the narrative starts in medias res, okay, I-N, in medias, M-E-D-I-A-S, medias res, R-E-S. And this is just a phrase that means in the middle of things, okay, in the middle of things. So the narrative in a epic starts in the middle of things, the way Paradise Lost opens when the fallen angels in hell, they are gathering their scattered forces and determining on revenge with God. Because Satan is their leader and all of them have been expelled from heaven. After that, in an epic like Paradise Lost, there is something called catalogue of the principal characters. Means introduction of the principal characters, be it Satan, be it his deputies, all of those characters are introduced. Now, iske baad ek aur cheez hoti hai epic mein, epic simile. Now, in an epic like Iliad, you'll find numerous epic similes. So, you should know what is a epic simile. Uske baad ek aur cheez bahut baar padhne ko milta hai epics mein, which is called a epithet. So you should also know what is a epithet. Now, before this I said epic simile. Now, you should keep in mind that a epic simile is not the same as normal simile. जो पढ़ते हैं ना हम लोग simile, metaphor, personification. Now, I said epic simile, not just simile. So keep that in mind. An epic simile is not the same as a normal simile. It is slightly different. And in an epic, we find epic similes. So from an exam point of view, you should know what are the important features of epic. One is in medias res. Okay, what is the meaning of this in medias res? That it starts in the middle of things. Uske baad, what is a epic simile? What is a epithet? Now let's discuss some more epics, because questions from an exam point of view can come on all of this. They can ask you questions on the important features of epic. After that, they can also ask you about different examples of epics and also important characters within those epics. So from an exam point of view, questions can be framed on all of these things. After that, let's discuss some other epics. Now, Virgil has also written a very famous epic called Aeneid. And this epic records and celebrates the foundation of Rome by Aeneas after many hazardous adventures following the fall of Troy. Now, after that, in the 14th century, Dante wrote the famous Divine Comedy. Now, Divine Comedy is a kind of autobiographical and spiritual epic. Now, when we move on to the Shakespearean era, or towards the era of Shakespeare, there is the famous work by Edmund Spenser called The Faery Queen. Now, Faery Queen is sometimes also called an epic because it embodies many of the qualities of an epic poem. And it is a mixture of epic and romance, for which Spenser designed what has become known as the Spenserian stanza. And this epic, let's say a narrative poem, a great narrative poem of epic length, right? This is divided into various books. And each book is about a particular hero, which represents a particular virtue. And this entire poem is thoroughly didactic. And the next famous epic poem is called Paradise Lost by John Milton. Paradise Lost is written in blank verse and organized into 12 books. And this is about the fall of man. And the purpose which Milton states was to justify the ways of God to men. This is what the purpose of Milton was in writing Paradise Lost. But the way Satan has been depicted in Paradise Lost, many critics as well as many, let's say, poets like William Blake and Samuel Taylor Coleridge, they say that Satan is the real hero of Paradise Lost. Or you can call it anti-hero, because after all, Satan is the bad guy, or Satan is the villain. But the rationale that he gives as to why he rebelled against God, kyun vidroh kar diya ya kyun revolt kar diya, you know, it's somewhat heroic. If you read the statements which Satan gives, it seems as though this is a heroic deed that he has done, because he tries to paint God as the real tyrant, and Satan himself says that, you know, I was only fighting for equality, I was only fighting for justice. So in a way, it can be said that Paradise Lost offers a compelling portrait of an anti-hero, which is Satan. After that, there are examples of other works as well, which can be classified as epics. But Paradise Lost is considered to be the last great epic of the modern times. After that, what we have is long poems. So in that sense, they can be called epics, but not epics in the true sense. And after the age of Milton, or let's say after the Caroline period, comes the neoclassical period. In that period, there is Alexander Pope, John Dryden, and these guys write mock epics. So now, instead of finding examples of epics, you will find many examples of mock epics. Now, what is the similarity between mock epic and epic? There are some similarities, because the style is going to be elevated, but it is going to be about a very trivial subject. Consider, for example, Alexander Pope's poem called The Rape of the Lock. So this is about a very trivial subject, but the treatment is grand, hai na? And similar is the case with Pope's other poem called The Dunciad. Okay, The Dunciad. And then there is the good example of John Dryden's poem called Absalom and Achitophel. Okay, Absalom and Achitophel, which came out in 1681. After the neoclassical period comes the romantic period. Even in that, we have epic type poems, or poems of epic length. For example, Don O'Anne by Lord Byron. After that, John Keats's fragmentary epic called Hyperion. And as I said, that this is a fragmentary epic. So this is not complete. But the Hyperion, which John Keats wrote, can also be considered to be a kind of epic. Let's say it was modeled on Paradise Lost, but later on, John Keats abandoned working on this. But there are many similarities or many features of epic poetry that can be found in Hyperion. Now, after that, in the modern times, there are some novels which writers have written that are voluminous, let's say large or lengthy novels, and because of their length, sometimes they are also called epics. For example, James Joyce's novel called Ulysses, which came out in 1922, sometimes this is also called a kind of epic. After that, the Russian writer called Leo Tolstoy, his novel called War and Peace. This is a very lengthy novel. Okay, this one was published in 1869, okay, by Leo Tolstoy. Uske baad, in the field of American literature, there is the example of Moby Dick. Okay, Moby Dick by Herman Melville, which came out in 1851. All of these three works can also be classified as a kind of epic because of the epic length of these novels. Okay, so from an exam point of view, just remember that an epic is something which is of great length, the style is grand, the diction or the choice of words is formal, the syntax or the order of words or phrases is very stylized, and the issue that is discussed is very serious and elevated style is there. Okay, serious issue is generally taken up in an epic poem. But of course, in a mock epic, it is totally different. After this, as I said earlier, that from an exam point of view, aapko pata hona chahiye what is a epic simile and what is a epithet. And let me end this by quoting George Lucas, who used the term bourgeois epic for all novels, which in his view reflect the social reality of their capitalist age on a broad scale. And famously he said that the novel is the epic of a world that has been abandoned by God. Okay? The novel is the epic of a world that has been abandoned by God. This is what George Lucas said about the novel. So, as a small recap, when you are reading about epic, you should know what are the features of an epic. First of all, what is the definition of an epic? What are the features of an epic? Uske baad, some examples of epic. And finally, if you can read some critical opinions on epic and how a lengthy novel nowadays is also referred to as epic, that will be great. So just go through this lecture at least twice and note down the important points that I have mentioned.